Hey guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Or maybe it's good afternoon, good evening, or good middle of the night.
Good midnight.
Yay! We're recording this episode of Magic the Amateuring for you at the butt crack of dawn. You know why? Because we love you, listeners. We're committed to you even though we are super sleepy.
Will you wear my promise ring? Because we're committed.
I think a promise ring is literally the lowest level of commitment that you can offer somebody.
No. It's not lower than not a promise ring.
It's not lower than I'll meet you at 6:30.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty low.
Yeah.
But we're not like that, listeners. We're ready to offer you the real deal, a cubic zirconia. We've got a great show for you today. Do you want to know what it's about?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Surprise me.
Ben wants to be surprised. Ben, you cover your ears. Megan, I'm going to tell you.
Please do.
We're going to talk some standard today, you guys.
Woo!
Some people complain we don't talk enough standard on the show. Those people are going to get their brains blown out of the water today.
Yeah, they sure are.
We're also going to talk about all the new, we're not going to forget about draft. We're going to talk about draft and Journey into Nyx's cart. We got Card of the Week, Flavor Text Theater. Shoot. If you're a magic amateur like Megan and I hope you enjoy this episode. If you're an old veteran like Ben, I hope you do too.
And if you're not understanding what we're talking about because you don't speak English, we will try to provide translations of our podcast in the future. But we're going to have to hire some translators.
Yeah, the only one we can translate into currently is Welsh.
So if you're a Welsh speaker and you don't speak any other language but Welsh, one, wow. Two, don't worry, we got it coming your way.
I also said I was going to say Diolchgam de Neges to the people who sent me a message in Welsh. We have Welsh listeners, you guys.
Oh, super cool.
Dwi'n mor gyffrous.
I have no clue what you're saying.
Excellent.
All right. Ben, take your fingers out of your ears. Ben.
He can't hear you, so he doesn't know how to do it. How do you communicate with a deaf Ben?
I don't know.
Maybe he'll just stay like that forever if we don't say anything.
Yeah. Should we just keep moving on with the show and see what happens?
How long would he stay like that?
My bet is that he would potentially do this for the entire episode.
Do you think he has that level of commitment?
I don't know. Has he put a promise ring
on himself?
On his own fingers, which are in his ears? I don't know, but I feel like he would do that.
Okay.
Well, let's see.
Let's see.
For the noobs.
Block constructed.
So you guys, what's block constructed?
You're looking at me?
Well, I thought maybe you would know.
Okay, Block Constructed is a, you know, standard format, aka...
It's not a standard format.
Okay,
it is a constructed format, though.
I've already fucked
which
up.
Is, I think, what you were trying to say. Maria, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
I'm melting.
It's a constructed format. So 60-card decks. You're not drafting. You come with the 60 cards already built.
Yep.
Keep going.
And then you play games. The cards are strictly speaking from what is legal in the current standard format.
No, because that would be standard. Okay, so Block Constructed is everything.
No.
Maria, it's gonna be okay. Maria, stay with me. Maria, stay with me. Stay with me, buddy. Block Constructed is everything from. It's a pro tour format. So this format isn't really played except on the pro tour. It's one out of every four, and it usually comes right at the end of whenever the final expansion or whenever the final block expansion in a block has come out.
Like Journey into Nyx.
Exactly. Journey into Nyx was the last expansion in Theros block. So now the pro tour this weekend, it was Block Constructed.
Ben's falling asleep.
Yeah, it's because he has his fingers in his ears. It's silent. It's silent as the grave in his head.
Isn't it always? Tumbleweed.
Good point.
Sick burn.
Anyway, so it's a pro tour format, and it's constructed. Oh, so it's like standard, but it's only made out of the last three out of the last three sets. So Theros, Born of the Gods, Journey into Nyx. Those are the only cards they're using to make these constructed decks.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold the front facing door. Hold the front facing door. So when is this played? Only on the Pro Tour?
This is the Black Constructed is really only played on the Pro Tour. That is the only place you will see it.
Okay.
And Magic Online.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wait, now that you say that, I think I have seen it on Magic Online.
Update, okay. Ben is now back with us.
Because I almost dropped my laptop, so I had to take my finger out of my ear.
Oh, so okay. I get it. You're committed until you almost drop something important.
Look, if my laptop's about to fall off my lap, I'm dumping you. This wedding. If I have to take off my wedding ring and throw it, save my laptop.
It's you will. Happen. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
If he's carrying one bride and another bride who looks, you know, more fun, you're going to drop that other one in the river.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't play Black Constructed online because you can basically play every format online.
Yes.
I don't know. It's not super duper popular, but a lot of people will play it just because it's easier to get enough cards to build a deck compared to standard.
Yeah, good point.
And the format actually exists before the full block is released, so even before, like as soon as the first Theros block was out, there were technically block constructed matches happening on Magic Online where you could only use cards from Theros.
I like that. Wow.
Yeah, it's very, it's just a much smaller set, and so the archetypes in the format are have a fewer number of cards, and they're just less powerful overall because there's fewer synergies to take advantage of.
So Ben, if someone was interested and they were listening, they're like, that sounds like something I want to get my hands into. Mm-hmm. how would you go about maybe figuring out what to play in a Black Constructed match online?
Well, you can always check the results for the previous daily events that have finished. They'll post the deck list from those, and you can copy someone's deck from there. Or maybe you've drafted some sweet draft decks, and you're like, oh, man, those strategies seem pretty good. I'm going to make a real strategy and try to make a constructed deck based on that.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. If you ever want to take a shot at Black Constructed, go for it, buddy. Maria.
I have a question.
I saw your hand up.
Thank you. Is that what they're playing at the Pro Tour that's happening now, which won't be happening by the time listeners listen to this, but I just want to know.
Yes. Yep. They are playing Black Constructed at the Pro Tour right now.
They did not all choose to not play cards from Return to Ravnica Block.
Oh my God.
They weren't all allowed. Like,
I was sitting there.
Gentlemen's agreement.
All of a sudden, Sphinx's revelation isn't actually a good card.
I'm sitting here thinking it was standard the whole time.
Maria, that's why we had this for the noobs.
Oh, I guess I'm just as noobs as all you out there.
Yeah, and so there's a couple of reasons why they choose to play Black Constructed as one of the four Pro Tours.
Kind of like this is how it's going to be in the future pretty soon, you guys. Get a taste.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to have those Sphinx's revs forever. Sorry, Megan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the other, some people are also like, because watching more standard after this long would be boring as shit.
Yeah, probably.
Because we've been watching, you know, people cast Sphinx's Revelations for forever now. We don't want to watch that.
We know how it feels.
Exactly. We've, like, even Mono Black, right? Now we've been watching people kill their people
pack
with
rat,
pack rats. For like, almost a year. We're done with that. Let's see something new.
You've seen a rat kill a person for a year, you're done.
Exactly. Honestly, once you've seen a rat kill a person 10 times, you're kind of over rats killing people.
So do these pros, like, test specifically Block Constructed only sort of before the last Pro Tour where it's played?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, that's when they go and they spend a lot of time, you know, figuring out what's gonna be good.
Lock themselves in a hotel room.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd format because there are no PTQs or Grand Prix that use this format, so people are kind of like,
Do they just build decks that are kind of similar to decks that are currently happening in standard?
Actually, this, from what we've seen this weekend, there really isn't anything that looks much like what we've been seeing in standard. Some people say that Black Constructed does suffer a little bit from, I'm just going to take the best cards
make a syndrome.
You know, I'll pick I'll pick the, you know, three best cards or the five best cards and hope that they're in three colors, and then I'll shove them all in a deck together.
For example, in this block format, there seem to be a few standout cards that are just so powerful that people are saying, okay, well, I guess I'll put these cards in a deck and then kind of add whatever else.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Courser of Kruphix.
Yeah, it's yeah, every man. Deck.
Just insanely it's powerful. In this is the 2/4 that lets you gain a life when you draw a land, and you can play with the top card of your library revealed and play that if it's land. So you basically get to draw a bunch of extra cards off that, and it gains you life, and it's a 2/4, so he be blocking.
And it's mm-hmm. got real cute art.
Super cute. A lot of people, a lot of pros are playing it for the art.
Yeah.
Also, Elspeth, the 6-mana planeswalker, super good, very good.
We already knew she was good. A few decks were playing it, good. But now it kind of seems like there's lots of good. People. There's lots of people playing Elspeth.
You know what I want? Elspeth. I want Block Constructed. People give me guff.
That's what I got you.
Well, man, with a promise ring around it.
No
promises. A very, very fat finger. So I would like to play Block Constructed because this appeals to me. A lot of people give me guff for not playing any Constructed.
Oh.
This appeals to me. However,
you deserve that guff. Just want to say that.
Okay, thank you. Whoa. I do not want any planeswalkers.
Oh.
Why not?
Because I just want to. I just want to play it without these weird people messing up shit, doing crazy stuff. But every single other card.
Oh, you want the whole format have no planeswalkers?
Yeah, I want to point you something out. You want
a modified block?
Yeah.
Constructed. Minus planeswalkers.
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, let me just...
I mean, like, what if you could not work with these, like, extremely powerful crazy cards? What if you only had to use...
Well, wait. I'm going to point something out. Do you like pulling a planeswalker in Limited?
Yes.
A planeswalker in Limited is so much more unfair than a planeswalker in Constructed. A planeswalker in Limited is essentially something that you usually can't deal with.
Yeah.
A planeswalker in Constructed, you know people are playing them, so you usually have a plan, like you got some heroes' downfalls in your deck or something like that. So it's not... Planeswalkers running around in Constructed aren't like planeswalkers running around in Limited because they're part of the metagame. You know about them. You usually have a plan.
I think we're trying to address Maria's concern logically. We're not thinking about the way planeswalkers make her feel.
I'm sorry. When something makes someone feel something in an irrational way, I don't care how you feel. I want to address the fact that you're irrational.
My dislike of planeswalkers in Constructed formats is not irrational.
But you then also have to dislike them in Limited.
Okay. No. Hold up. If I'm like, I don't... Okay, let's make this... Let's make what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Me either. That's why I'm looking for it. If I'm like, I don't want to wear this fancy dress out to work, that doesn't mean I never want to wear the fancy dress. So when I go to the Oscars, I'll probably put it on.
So what is the Oscars of magic?
The fancy dress is a planeswalker.
Yeah, and what's the Oscars that you're wearing it to?
I'm wearing it to a nice stand sealed event.
Just because I don't want to marry a guy with a face tattoo doesn't mean I don't want to date a guy with a face tattoo.
You want to date a guy with a face tattoo?
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying it's not off the table. It's not off the table.
We're not going to judge you.
Maria, I think potentially the format you're looking for is Popper.
Yeah, it sounds like
you kind of want Popper.
All right. Thank you for helping me work this out.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
So this week's For the Noobs is also a little bit of a standard corner. Because another reason why we see Black Constructed is because it gives us a little bit of a peek at what maybe the potential metagame will be like.
Standard preview.
Exactly. Oh, it's just a regular old preview, you guys. Not an exciting one.
So when is stuff rotating out?
The cards in Return to Ravnica will rotate out when the first block of the Huey expansion is released.
That's cool. That's after M15, though, right?
Yes, exactly. So there will be a time when all of Return to Ravnica, M14, all of Theros, and M15... are all standard playable.
You totally said M15 twice. Just
yeah, I mean, you can use it.
You can use it twice?
You can use it twice.
Oh, okay.
M14, Return to Ravnica, M14, Theros, and M15 are all going to be standard playable. But as soon as the release weekend of Huey, all of those RTR and M14 cards are going to be gone.
In case you don't know out there, Huey is the code name for the fall set.
Yeah.
The set has not been announced yet, so we do not know when it is being released.
It's being announced today, Ben.
It is being announced today, though. When? So,
oh, let's pause. Hold on. We'll just pause the podcast. And we'll...
Listeners, I'm sure you already know because you can look on the internet the name of the new fall set. I'm going to predict it right now, though. As I predicted on the show before, Huey is going to be an 80s band theme set based on Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh.
So you can draft, say, a hair metal band. You can draft a girl band like Heart. You can draft metal band. You know, you can draft.
I want to draft specifically
a hair band or a metal band.
I want to draft the legendary creature Twisted Sister.
Sister, overpowered.
Totally OP.
Totally OP.
Anyway, check that out. Sorry that we're recording so early that we don't know, but you guys all know. You're smarter than us.
I'm not sorry.
Okay, fine.
Anyways, it gives us a little bit of a picture of what it's going to be like once Return to Ravnica and M14 are gone.
So what do you think it's going to be
like? What does it look like?
Well,
make a call.
Again, it's a little difficult to say because some of the decks are well, here, these are the good cards right now. Let's stick them all together.
Like Sphinx, Granddaddy Sphinx.
Yeah, everybody, one of the big things is a lot of people are playing Prognostic Sphinx. He's a really without any of those big sweepers like a Supreme Verdict, he's very hard to kill. So he's a very resilient threat. We're seeing him in a lot of
how would you kill that?
Yeah, man. You
Celestial Flare?
Yeah, Celestial Flare would do it. But Celestial Flare's gonna be gone.
Oh.
Oh. We'll be here for the summer at least.
Yeah, that's true, Ben.
We could still hang out all this summer if Face Tattoo Joe.
No, I'm sorry. I need more than that.
So what we've seen a lot of that fits into a lot of control decks that have moved away from blue-white. Most of these control decks are still having some sort of blue, but we've seen black-green-blue control. Mm. Bug control, which is
no, also... there's a bug on your shoulder.
Ah!
Megan is mostly bug now.
Oh no. If that's the control deck, the chances that I will be mostly bug. Anyways, so bug control, also known as the raid deck.
Why?
Because raid
bug is
raid
a bug killer.
Raid is a bug killer.
That's real cute.
Okay.
I would call it
thank you.
The name of the extermination company from Men in Black.
Which was
I don't know. It, you know that guy, the alien who was the cockroach guy?
Yeah.
And he drove around that truck.
Yeah.
That he stole?
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously super memorable because you know the name, which is...
I don't know. Pest control... Oh. I don't know. What Pest control services? We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just Googled this, but the first result is a pest control service called Men in Black Pest Control.
Whoa! Wow!
Perfect. Good job, those guys.
Nice.
What city are they based
Woodridge,
in?
Woodridge, Illinois.
Oh. I'm going to move to Woodridge, you guys.
Give me sugar and water. More.
Just so I can use Men in Black Pest Control. Anyways, so again, non-blue-white control is something that we've seen. We've seen, again, a lot of like Elspeth-based decks. So we've seen control decks like blue-white black. Yep, that's what I was trying to say. Based around Elspeth. We've seen like sort of a red, green, white aggro deck or more mid-rangey, which has Elspeth. It's like an aggro deck with an Elspeth stuck in there for a good measure. And then some for you aggro fans, there was the mono black aggro deck featuring lots of like Tormented Hero and Gnarled Scarhide, Spiteful Returned, Herald of Torment, just really doing a lot of damage.
Not the Fatty Flyer, though.
No, not Fatty McFat Fat Flyer Fat.
Too bad.
Oh, poor guy.
Although they did... No, that's not true. The mono black aggro deck did have him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Master of the Feast.
Cool. Master of the Feast.
Cool. I was just being silly, but they really had him?
Mm-hmm. They really did.
Nice.
So, that deck was, I think, one of those aggro decks made the top 8, but I'm not entirely sure which one.
Okay.
Stanislav Sifka's
there you go.
Boros aggro deck made the top 8.
Aw, Maria Boros.
Was he playing any nice little Strive Boros trick?
No. That's unplayable. I think he's playing like Launch the Fleet and Coordinated Assault.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. God's Willing, that type of stuff.
Cool.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Now I actually kind of want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
It's too, what?
Well, you got to do this instead.
You have to do it today at 11.
All right, on it.
Alrighty. So that's sort of a little bit of a insight into maybe what the metagame will look like.
So people are saying there, since there's no big board sweepers, stuff like that, that there's going to be maybe a lot more creatures hanging out on the battlefield.
There already were a lot more creatures.
Maybe, chilling like villains.
Maybe more friendship. Maybe they'll start a band.
Yeah. Maybe an 80s hair metal band and end up in Huey.
Yep, there you
sure,
go.
Sure, sure.
So, Megan, people like you are upset about that. People like me think that's kind of cool.
I'm really sad that there's not a 4-mana kill everything.
I mean, maybe really, an M15. No, I think they might have actually said that there's not going to be.
But there might be one in Huey. Okay. Who knows? I can hold out hope, Maria.
All right, sure.
Anyways, but that doesn't mean the control decks are gone. So, watch it.
We'll still have cards like Anger of the Gods.
Yeah.
Which is not a kill everything.
Kill some stuff.
Yeah. But it's a kill some things.
Exactly. There's still Drown in Sorrow, which actually we saw pulled out against the mono black decks. Or put into the decks against mono black aggro, because they all have one toughness. So -2/-2 ooh, goes a long way towards killing those
gluck,
suckers.
Gluck, gluck, gluck. Gluck, 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 gluck.
Yeah. We also saw Guillaume Wafotapa, who is a...
I like to call him Waffle Taco.
He one, famously loved to play Control, so everyone was, one, surprised that he did not play Islands. But two, he was playing a Constellation deck that featured, again, Courser of Kruphix, Doomwake Giant, and Extinguish All Hope as a sweeper, because that killed everything except his creatures, so whoa, that's pretty cool.
Whoa.
So, there you go, guys. There you go.
Wow.
Wow.
So y'all, who's tired of that standard tech? Me. Took a lot out of me. Whew.
No, Maria, you gotta give him a chance. Okay, whatever.
Let's talk a little bit about the limited format that's going on right now.
Oh.
Shall we?
Mm.
Yeah.
So we've all been playing some Journey, Born, Theros drafts, having a real fun time doing it. I don't know about all y'alls, but I really am liking this new format.
Mm-hmm. It's been a good one to do with the likes.
Yeah. We've had some pretty interesting, neat decks that we haven't been able... I think that weren't able to happen during Born or Theros because they were simply too fast.
Yeah.
That we've got some opportunities for some neat decks now where you can be a little more creative, I think, than you could be in either of those two formats previously.
Mm. Agreed. In Born of the Gods especially, I felt like either you had to be the red-white deck or you had to have a plan for the red-white deck, or you just had to lose to the red-white deck.
Basically, I think every finals that I made, I was playing versus the red-white deck if I wasn't it.
Exactly.
It was a little ridiculous. But now the options are endless, it seems. Of course, you can still be that asshole and play red-white, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, it's totally a thing.
That's a thing. But you can also be a more controlling, crazy interesting build, too.
Yeah, last week you guys talked a little bit about Graveyard.
Yes.
The Graveyard deck.
You listen to this show?
Well, I am here to give a pack away to someone who showed us a photo of a Scryfish with a pin to the earth on it. But unfortunately, no one sent us that photo, so I can't.
Did you hear anything in that show that you might need to repeat to us?
That was exactly what I was supposed to repeat to you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I didn't even remember. remember what it was.
No,
no, you didn't.
Obviously.
I didn't even remember the Megan Nugget.
Nope. I would also like to confirm that while at that wedding in Texas, I was riding a horse while eating a burrito and firing a gun into the air.
Oh, Megan, you don't disappoint.
Because that's how people get married in Texas, y'all.
That's how you, I think at the border, that's how you have to, they're like, here's your horse.
That's how you proceed. You actually can't fly into any city in Texas. No. You can only fly into the nearest airport, like Oklahoma City or somewhere in Louisiana. And then ride a horse in.
Can I ride a Pegasus into Texas?
Oh, you're really stretching
it. You have to hide the horn under a cowboy hat.
You'd better wear a cowboy hat, cowboy boots to make up for the fact that you're riding a Pegasus.
I just like thinking of a Pegasus with a cowboy hat over its horn. Be who you are, Pegasus. Don't hide it.
Also, we're specifically talking about a unicorn Pegasus.
Yeah, we are. It's not the same thing. Okay. I've been corrected multiple times when I was a Pegasus for Halloween and I had a horn. People are like, Pegasus doesn't have a horn, idiot. And I'm like, well, then I'm a unipeg.
Have you really been a Pegasus for Halloween?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to clear that up. Let's keep moving.
You the front half or the back half?
The back.
Why did you have a horn in the back?
Why do I have
back?
To be the half of a Pegasus? Why can't I just be why do I have to be half of that animal?
Because that's how those costumes work.
Ben, tell me one of your Halloween costumes that you've had.
Transformer.
Were you the front half or the back half?
Yes.
Okay. What were you saying, Megan?
Oh, last week you guys talked about the graveyard deck. That black-green graveyard deck, which is a new fun type of deck that has become very viable.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
No, I have not had a chance to play with that yet. Have you, Maria? Did you make it work like you vowed to?
I have not played it again since we last spoke.
Oh.
So still, my milling myself is still the last thing that happened to me.
Didn't you post a picture of a deck that was like heavy green?
Oh, you're right. I did.
Black and blue?
Play green, black, blue. I guess I didn't think of it as a graveyard deck.
Was it not as much of a graveyard
deck?
No,
it was not a graveyard deck. I was running Nyx Weaver Spider, but that's just because that card is good.
Ooh.
Not necessarily focusing on my graveyard. Yeah, that's what I won my first draft with in this format. It was sweet. Like, people cannot beat me with that deck. I mean, that Fleet Feather Cockatrice, like, are you kidding me?
That card is bonkers.
Did you flash him in?
I did.
Did you get...
I got people with him.
Did you get people with him?
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, he was so good.
Nice.
So yeah, I guess sort of, in a way. I did not mill myself, so there you go.
My goal for the format is to flash in that Cockatrice and then Monster Sim in the same turn.
That's going to be a lot of
mana. How many
mana
do you need for that?
Probably like 12 or some shit.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
It's going to happen. Okay. I believe in you, buddy.
Thanks, bros.
Yeah, man. So Maria, so you also played kind of almost a mono green deck.
Yeah, so that was the mono green deck I mentioned that I was just talking about that had Nyx Weaver Spider and Splashing Four, Reaper of the Wilds, and also Fleet Feather the Cockatrice.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no big deal, you guys. But I also played a nearly mono red deck. Let me think if it had another color. I don't think it even did. I think it was mono red the other day. It was super sweet. It was super cheap. And it had a lot of favored, Seder Hoplites. So it had Seder Hoplite, the one that gets a counter when he's targeted. Mm-hmm. And it was just insane. Like, I just got some of them. I had some Mogus's Warhounds, which give +2/+2 must attack, bestows for 3, and a ton of cheap stuff. I could not be stopped with this little weenie thing.
Oh, my gosh. Did they have to call the National Guard?
They did. They called the National Guard in on me. They shot at my house. I live in a pile of rubble now. The problem was I defeated myself with this deck.
Wait, what? Did you attack yourself?
Because I was in the finals with it, and it was like...
la, 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 attack me.
I was like, you can't do anything. Nobody can do anything against me. I'm just so stupid fast. But I did my math incorrectly, or more like I was lazy about it and didn't double check, and I missed 1 point of damage.
What? What happened?
I don't know.
It's okay.
It was the worst punt ever.
Ouch. Of all time? Wow.
Yeah, of all time. I'm calling it of all time.
Sorry, runners up.
Megan, you also made a cool deck the other day.
Yeah, yesterday I made probably the most fun deck that I've made yet during a Theros draft, which was a constellation deck.
Nice.
Yeah, it was specifically all about playing a bunch of enchantments. So I had that Riptide Chimera, which is the 3/4 for 3. It's blue, and at the beginning it says at the beginning of your upkeep you must bounce an enchantment to your hand.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. I also had an Underworld Coinsmith, which is black white constellation for constellation gain a life. So that was like my little mini combo of having this Riptide Chimera and this Underworld Coinsmith. Every turn you can bounce him and then play him again to gain a life, which is pretty sweet. So that was a lot of fun. And then I actually used a lot of black has a lot of enchantment kind of removal or like spells that can, you know, or can hamper your opponent's creatures. So like I had two Nyx Infusion, which is the -2/-2. Unless it's an enchantment, then +2/+2. I really like that card. I think that card is solid. I had Cast Into Darkness, which is -2/-0, and the creature can't block, which I think is seriously underrated right now. That card is very cool. And then Weight of the Underworld, which is kind of like meh, but it was an enchantment, so there you go.
You know what? I've heard people say that Riptide Chimera is not a good card. I disagree.
Yeah, you have to build around it.
You do have to build around it, but you're going to get it early enough that you can.
Exactly. I first picked it because the pack was really otherwise very unexciting.
Oh.
And I was like, that was one of the fun things about it. It's what they called a build around uncommon, which is that, like, yeah, it's not just a great card to stick in your deck. Like Fleet Feather Cockatrice, right?
Yeah, just a great put card. It in.
But Riptide Chimera, like a really good card if you take it early and then you build a deck around it.
When I played Megan, I was just thinking, man, Megan's got some real, real lame enchantments in this deck.
Yeah.
And then she played the Riptide Chimera, and I was like, oh, now she's gonna draw a lot of cards.
Yes.
She had like Grizzly Trans.
Oh yeah, I put Grizzly Transformation in so that I could. My favorite thing to do was to bounce enchantments like that and then put them back on a Wavecrest Triton that I had.
Oh, sick.
So it's like, oh, every turn I'm just going to freeze a creature and draw a card. And BD.
Fortunately, I was able to feast on her dreams.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah? That deck was a little weak to feast dreams.
I had a Minotaur's deck.
Oh, ooh. Nice.
It was a red black deck. I had the Death Touch Minotaur guy, but I never drew him.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, that card is sweet. I think I put you into Minotaurs because that guy was in my pack, and I almost took that and went Minotaur, but I took the Chimera instead. I put you into Minotaurs. Oh, I got a big bowl. I put some Minotaurs in it, and then I put you in there with them.
Oh my gosh! I thought I made that decision on my own,
Ben. But little do you know, every decision you've made has been secretly influenced by Megan.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Gross barf. I had that. I had the Flurry of Minotaurs, the thing that made...
Flurry of Horns.
Flurry of Minotaur Horns.
Flurry of Minotaurs.
And I had...
that's a new Blizzard at Dairy Queen.
That's a new McFlurry at McDonald's.
Whatever. Flurry of Minotaurs.
And I had the Murder King. Good old Timur at the Murder King. I saw that guy, like, second pick, and I was like, you know what?
Let's do it.
This guy, no. I was like, you know what? This guy, OEL. So I sent him around, and the good old Murder King came back to me. That's what I love about the Murder King and his face tattoo.
I don't know how many times.
Ben, you're sure talking about this face tattoo guy a lot.
Yeah. I don't know how many times Ben has cried because he thought that the Murder King had left him for good. But that Murder King always comes back to Ben, so I try to remind him of every
all
time
I
that
have
happens.
All I have to do is sacrifice whoever I'm currently dating, and he returns.
Sacrifice! Oh, God. Card of the Week. Let's talk about our Cards of the Weeks, y'alls.
Yeah, man.
My Card of the Week is the aforementioned Mogus's Warhound.
Ooh. Why do you like him?
Well, I like him because of his insanely cheap bestow cost, which is 3, and adding 2 power and 2 toughness to whatever he is bestowed upon. He can seem dangerous because you must attack with him.
Just like some dogs seem dangerous.
Because they
especially when they have 2 heads, one of which is puking fire.
Yikes, what dogs have you run into?
That's the picture on Mogus's Warhounds.
One of them's not puking fire.
He's totally puking fire.
Look this shit up. Oh. He's eating, he's gnawing on a little bone.
No, he's barfing fire.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, he's kind of like letting it drool out of his mouth. Blah, 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 blah.
Maybe he's eating fire.
From where?
From the ground.
Nope, you guys, that's fire puke.
All right, so fire puke. Fine. But even
fire
though,
puke warhound.
I think even though that's a potential downside, it was only ever a downside for me maybe once, and that was because they had to use removal and bounce it, you know, so they effectively had to remove it anyway, and then he attacked and was eaten. But mm-hmm. like every other time, I think it was a plus for me. So there you go.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Sweet. My card of the week is Underworld Coinsmith. Again, we were just talking about build around uncommons. This is a card I would love to take. Yesterday I took it second and then build a deck around it using the constellation and some life gain and then using Underworld Coinsmith to murder people. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, that's it. It's a great card.
I don't think I would ever be brave enough to take that second.
It is a gold card, which can be a little scary, but it's just super cool, and I really wanted to try it out, and it was very neat. I would say every time that I played Riptide Chimera or Underworld Coinsmith, it was like my opponents worked pretty hard to get them off the board.
It was hard to console them.
Yeah, no, they worked
felt
pretty,
real
they,
bad.
They worked pretty hard to get those cards off the board. So again, attesting to the fact that it's a quality card that's kind of scary.
Qual card
kind of scary and pretty cool, especially if you get like some Scholar of Athreos. If you get maybe like a Hopeful Eidolon in your deck, so you can gain some life and then start just using the drain effect on Underworld Coinsmith, all that sort of thing, man.
The drain effect.
Be cool.
Sounds like a scientific term. Mm.
The drain effect is when you put water in a sink and then the water disappears.
You're seeing what I like to call the drain effect.
The drain effect. Mm.
Nobel, please. Mm. Ben, what you got for your card of the week, boy?
My card of the week is Riddle of Lightning.
Ooh, interesting.
Which is a card I've never played.
Okay.
But I took
was going around.
Yeah, I took was it Starfall over that card.
Yeah.
Just kind of it's a very similar card, right?
Yeah.
Starfall says deal 3 damage to target creature if that creature is an enchantment. Starfield deals 3 damage to that creature's controller. Riddle of Lightning says choose target creature or player scry 3, then reveal the top card of your library. Riddle of Lightning deals damage equal to that card's converted mana cost to that creature or player.
Seems bad.
Well, they're both... I feel like they're both going to do about 3 most of the time.
Yeah, that's fine.
Why wouldn't you rather have something that for sure is going to do 3?
Well, in the black-red deck I was playing, there were a lot of times when I just wanted some reach. And to be able to shoot their face with the Riddle of Lightning and then also set up my draws so that next turn I can get them again...
Okay.
Yeah. That was really appealing. There were just a lot of games where I was like, man, this Starfall is not doing a lot for me, but if I had a Riddle of Lightning, I would at least be able to do something.
Starfall, Adele's next song. So follow
the
sky.
Starfall,
let it crumble.
It's going supernova. And 3 damage to the controller.
I'm just thinking about James Bond now.
He's an enchantment creature, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't think James Bond dies to any removal.
That is super true. But if you're another creature on the battlefield with him, you better fucking watch out.
You're either gonna die or get a sexually transmitted infection.
Fact.
Poison counter.
We're rapping about cats.
Anyone wanna?
About cats. We're scrying 3 so that our tactics won't be too hot. Rapping about some cats. Rapping about some cats. We're busting open packs and we're rapping about some cats.
As Ben's previewing for you,
wow.
We are going to do Flavor Text Theater right now. Rap style. Rap style. We're going to crack a pack and make up some rhymes based on these cards.
That's right. We're not promising they're going to be good.
We're not promising anything.
Especially Maria and I are promising they're not going to be good.
Ben, what are you promising?
We're dropping it like it's hot, like a motherfucking six drop.
There you go.
Perfect.
Here we go.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
We be busting. That pack crinkling is whack. All these cards come out, fold it up, you jack.
Oh, you got an Athreos.
I got an Athreos.
I'm excited about the mythic in this pack.
Okay, I'm picking one up. Oh, boy.
I ain't talking about placation. Get in my formation. All my guys, they've got fly in, and I'm seven mana wasting. I'm killing you with flyers. Plus one, they're higher. And now your life total is looking dire.
Oh, snap! Hey, I drafted green, so I've got... Oh, nope.
Come on, try it again.
Green it again,
MC Bartholdi.
I accidentally thought it was charging beaver and not badger. So my rhyme's totally fucked up.
It's okay.
All right, everyone imagine.
Green it anyway.
All right. I drafted mono green, so I got a charging beaver. And then I sided black, so I'm adding a Nyx Weaver.
Fuck. Yo! Yo, you patched those packs in the wrong order.
I did?
Yeah, girl.
Okay, sorry.
Oh. Man, I'm getting lots of fortunes out of this font, and I'm drawing all the cards that I really want. I drafted mono blue because I want to draw cards. So now that this is over, this win wasn't hard.
Oh.
Hit it.
Yo, creature count and land count. About to get low because I'm dropping on you a spiteful blow, and there's something up with the art. It seems wrong, cause it is a fist, but it looks like a thong.
Hey, y'all, I'm not deviating from the norm, cause I aim is Maria, and I'm drafting Flurry of Horns. It's not unusual, cause I love minotaurs. I'll smash your face with red and black really hard.
Oh.
If I said I didn't like this warring siren, I would really be super do super duper lion. This card is sweet, maybe like a wingsuit rider, and that's I'm gonna kill you when my cards are going higher.
Oh, look up, bros, there's about to be a bounty. I'm getting a plethora of counting because you know multiplication by zeros is always my solidary of heroes.
Hey, I don't want you to feel bad, but I just drafted dead bringer lamb pads. When I target him, it gets intimidate. So I'm gonna kill you now. Why should I wait?
This dude's just a little satyr hoplite, but he can really put up a super good fight. He's got some +1/+1 counters, and now I can't think of a rhyme that word that rhymes with +1/+1 counters.
Yo, bros, get hit by my laser. I'm playing out my Laguna Band Trailblazer. He's the one I'm scrying to the top. He's my very favorite zero power one drop.
Am I playing black? No, I'm not a necromancer. I'm going to draft green and the Seder Grove Mancer. Distribute this counter wherever I like. Oh. And now all my creatures are ready to fight.
Hi-yo.
Woo! Drop the mic.
Those are some pretty good raps.
Those are some of our best raps.
Is there raps somewhere that rap labels can contact us?
Yes, they
about
can.
About publishing our raps?
They absolutely can. Just send us an email, magictheamateur@gmail.com.
I would like to publish your raps.
Oh, like in a poetry book?
Yes.
That's nice. Exactly. That's real nice. I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Wow, that was some good intense. Show, you guys.
Mm-hmm. That was really solid.
Really good. I apologize to everybody for hearing our white raps, but I also don't apologize because they were great.
Do you think this is the earliest in the morning anyone's ever freestyle rapped?
Potentially.
Yeah. Potentially. Unless you're counting like when rappers get together and hang out like 3 a.m., like they've been partying all night and they're freestyle rapping.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you count that or no?
Generally, I do not.
No. Okay. So like it's first earliest after waking up.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. Post-sleep.
Post-sleep freestyle rap.
If you have ever... I'm brushing my teeth. It is the morning.
If you have ever freestyle rapped earlier than 9:30 in the morning, please tweet us about it at MTAcast.
We would love to hear if the first thing... Challenge, listener challenge. I want the first thing you do upon opening your eyes to freestyle rap.
Listener challenge. There you go.
Right also on. Send us a photo of Sigild Starfish. Sigild Starfish.
Yes. And if you have a face tattoo, send a picture of it to us. Tweet it at MTAcast.
Specifically.
So Ben can see if you are the Timurat, the murder king he's been looking for.
You guys, I hope you follow us on iTunes. And by follow, I mean subscribe to our podcast. Because you can get it every week on your little phone device or whatever you're into.
Yeah, totally.
It'll just do it automatically. Right. The same thing is true of Stitcher. You can download the Stitcher app and do the same thing.
Why not do that?
Yeah, you can leave us a review on either of those things. We'll make a pun out of your username.
And if you don't want a pun, then you don't have to. Or you could write a review and say, don't bother leaving a pun.
Because your puns are super bad. You'd be right. Mm. You can also just check out our website every week, magicallyamateuring.com. The episode's posted there every Monday, like clockwork.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can set your watch by it. Is it Monday?
Almost.
Is it Monday? Has an episode of MTAcast posted? Then yes.
Yes. Yeah, if you have a watch that is only days, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, my day watch.
Yeah, my day watch. Sure. Yeah, so... Sweet. Get in touch with us. And like we said, follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Mm-hmm. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything that's going down in the magic community. Even if you're not into Twitter, otherwise, just do it seriously only for magic because everybody in magic uses it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's crazy towns.
Cool. Everyone.
Everyone. Literally
except this everyone. One guy that I know, but no one talks to him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah.
I hope you all will join us next week for another exciting episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Yeah. Oh, is next week going to be exciting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be super cool. Not going to tell you, but it's going to be good.
Wow.
You just have to trust me.
I'm going to listen.
Take this ring. I promise you. Okay. It'll be an exciting episode. Okay. Bye. Well, bye, kids.
Good night.
Go to bed.
Go to bed. Your mom's coming home. Go to bed.